Okay, good morning, gentlemen. We're continuing our study of Pesach. We are discussing the subject of matzah. We've discussed many aspects of what makes the matzah the bread of freedom. Today we're going to be discussing another aspect. It's really a very, very simple message that Hashem gave us when He made us eat matzot upon our exodus from Mitzrayim. Our first taste of freedom when we left Egypt was the taste of matzah. And with that came a message for every single person who is seeking true freedom in life. Most people in life, by nature, the nature of a person is they assume that the more they will be able to accumulate in the physical world, the more freedom they will have to do what they want in this world. It's a natural thought of every person. That's why people naturally like money. Because the assumption of the human mind is that the more I have, the more I'm capable of getting what I want, and I will be free to get the things that many people may not be able to get. But being that I have the wherewithal, I have the money, I have the capabilities, so I will be able to reach things that I want that perhaps others don't have that same ability. Other people don't have the freedom to buy the things that they want. They don't have the freedom to go the places they want to go to. But I am striving to be able to afford everything that I would want. And once I can afford everything that I would want, I am considered a free person. I am no longer restricted by the fact that I can't afford something or I can't get something. That's a restriction. Tell a guy, you want something but you can't have it. I'm restricted. I don't want to be restricted. I want to be free. So when I have the money, I have the capability, I am now free to get whatever I want. And the more money I have, the more I will be able to say yes to anything that comes my way. The higher I can go, the more free I am. So therefore, in our mindset, freedom and capability of getting whatever I want, they work together hand in hand. They're climbing the same ladder. We look at it almost as one and the same. Money and the acquisition of the ability to get whatever I want is viewed as the climb on the ladder of freedom. Comes the creator of the world at the moment of our freedom with a tremendous hidush. It's really simple. It's only a hidush because the nature of a human is to think otherwise. So it's a hidush. It's a new idea in that sense. But when you put it on paper, it's actually very simple. What is this tremendous hidush that we got? as we became free men, comes the Creator and says, your mindset about money, capability, and freedom going together up the ladder may be correct, but you're going the wrong way. Which means it's true that the more you're able to satisfy what you want, the more free of a person you are. That is true. But your system that you assume, therefore, the therefore is the problem. Therefore, let me gather as much capabilities as I can so that whatever I want, I will be able to get. Says the Creator, that is a trip into slavery. The real freedom is to make your needs less. And this way, you can get what you want much easier. You think to satisfy your needs, you make the needs more, and you try to accumulate the ability to satisfy the needs. And as you accumulate, your needs just keep going higher and higher, and you're getting richer and richer. Says the Creator, no, the Creator, you're getting poorer. Because in reality, what you're supposed to be doing, if you want to make yourself a wealthy man and a truly free person, is to lessen more and more, less and less, the needs that you have in life. If instead of working to acquire more, to satisfy more, you should be working to need less. Because when you need less to be happy, you become free of all the needs that people are constantly craving and frustrated from not being able to reach. So you have a good system. You try to satisfy your needs, but you're going the wrong way. You're climbing the ladder instead of trying to climb down the ladder. Instead of going up, it's supposed to be going down. The more you could be satisfied with less, the more free of a person you are. You think that going on a vacation that's wild and crazy, that now you can afford it, you're a free man. Because look, I can go everywhere. I can do it. But the guy that could be happy staying home and doesn't need that to be happy, he's more free than you. Because ultimately, you're still a slave to your needs, and plus you have to always be keeping up your capabilities, the pressure's on, to make sure that A, you're able to afford things, B, you're able to constantly think of the things that you might need, and things that you might want to upgrade. And as you know, in this world, there's never, in this ladder of things that you might want, there's no ceiling. So no matter where you are and what you're chasing, there's always another trip. There's always another place. is another person. There's another gadget. So you're going the wrong way. What an unbelievable, powerful message the Creator sent Am Yisrael as they left Mitzrayim. Now they're ready to be free men. They can eat good bread, finally. The Creator says, wait, that's not the message on the day of freedom. There's nothing wrong with eating bread. But that's not something you should need in life. If you can be satisfied with matzah, you're going to be a free person in your life. The more you need to eat, the more you need it to rise, the more luxuries you want and need to have, you become a bigger slave day after day. Imagine how powerful, how simple this message is, but how tremendously useful it is, because it's the opposite of what every human imagines until they hear the words of the Creator, until they eat the matzah on the holiday of freedom. And this matzah is supposed to give them a very powerful reminder that they are choosing satisfaction in life, which is a good thing. But they're going the wrong way. They're spending their whole life frustrated, trying to get somewhere. And as they get somewhere, there's more to get to. Never gonna happen. The Maharal says that this midah that we just spoke about, the midah of satisfaction with less, it's called midat histapkut. It's a midah. It's not for the poor person. Don't think for a second we're talking about poor people. This has nothing to do with how much money you have in your bank account. This is not a consolation prize for people who don't have money. Midat istabkut is not a pledge to poverty. Midat istabkut says that I have developed myself. Midah, I have to work on it. I have worked on myself to be a person who needs less to be satisfied. I don't need to eat in such a fancy restaurant. I don't need to have such fancy food. I'm working on myself. For some people, in order for them to have a great night out, they have to go to a very, very high-end type of place. Otherwise, they feel they haven't enjoyed their night. No, I'm working that I should have a matzah with cream cheese, and I'm going to feel like I went to the most grand restaurant. That's what I'm working on. I'm not working to find new restaurants. I'm working to satisfy myself with something very, very little. I'm working the opposite. The world is working to find new and bigger and greater. I'm working on my midot. I'm working on my character. My character to be satisfied with less. You're going to be going against most people on the highway. But to become a happy, great person, you're always going to need to go and swim upstream. That's just the way life is. But says the Maharal, Hamidah Hazot, he says, if you acquire this midah, whether it's by food, whether it's by anything and everything. He says, he Eliona Me'od. The word Eliona, Elion, very high. Imagine, people are climbing the ladder and they're getting lower. And says the Maharal, when you climb down, it's Eliona Me'od. Now you're getting high. Now you're getting somewhere. It's an unbelievable thing.
I have a story.
The Tiferet Yonatan, Rabbi Yonatan Eifshitz, Alav HaShalom. Look what he says. He says, Yadua. Yadua means it's obvious. It's known. I guess in his time, people were different. Because today it's not so known. Today is a big Hidush. But he says, it's Yadua. It's well known, he says. Shehamida, listen to this word. Hamida hagedola b'midot atovot. What is the greatest characteristic in good character? The greatest. Before we learned today, people didn't even notice the characteristic. He says the greatest characteristic from all the good character. Good character is humility. Good character is patience. Good character is kindness. All the good character that we strive to have and for ourselves and for our children, says the Tiferet Yonatan, the Midah HaGedola, the greatest Midah. From all the good midot, he midat ha'istapkut is knowing how to go down the ladder. Knowing how to stand tall and enjoy at the bottom of the ladder. You imagine? You have a father and mother that are raising a child. And they want to give him everything. They want to give him wealth. They want to give him all the luxuries of life because they love him. What doesn't a father and mother want to give their children? Problem is, they don't understand and they didn't learn this great line of this great man. What he says is yadua, it's obvious. You want your children to live in luxury? Train them out to be satisfied with matzah. If your children can enjoy matzah, like people enjoy who knows what kind of steak, you've given your children wealth. Parents want to give their children as much as they can. And they want them to have good character. They want them to enjoy their life as a result of the good character and all the possessions that they can afford them. But very often, they're going the wrong way. Could you imagine trying to help somebody get something? And you do everything opposite of what you're trying to achieve. You feel bad for the person because they have good intentions. But you're going about it the wrong way. A father and mother says, how am I going to give my children everything? Luxury and everything. Top of the line. Where they can't enjoy anything but the best. I want my children only to have the best. So now you've given your children slavery. There's nothing wrong with having good things in life. You should know that our avot were all super wealthy. How come the Avot were super wealthy? If this midah, if this characteristic is so important, why did they have so much wealth? And the answer is very simple. Because being wealthy and having hishtapkut is not a contradiction. A person could be super wealthy, but yet capable of enjoying the simple things in life. Obviously, it becomes more difficult to have this midah when a person has so much luxury. Because the more you taste luxury, the more you're going to start to need luxury. And when you start to need luxury, then you become a slave to it. And you become more poor than you started. But one of the great challenges of life, and that's why the Avot had this, it was one of their challenges. If they would be able to remain satisfied with a matzah, even though they can afford everything and anything, and even if they're eating better, but do they need it? Are they tied to it? Or they're capable, they have, and perhaps even enjoy, but they didn't give up on this characteristic of hishtapkut. It's a lot of chokhmah. You need a lot of wisdom to have a lot, to give a lot, and yet that same person that's enjoying a lot doesn't need it and still is capable of being satisfied with less. That's a very big challenge. First of all, you should know that many people who are poor don't have this midah. Just because a guy's eating matzah every night, because that's all he can afford, it doesn't mean he has the midah of his hishtapkut. And just because you're eating lamb chops every night, it doesn't mean you don't have the midah of hishtapkut. Don't measure it by how deep the pockets are or how shallow they are. It has nothing to do with it. There are plenty of poor people who don't have hishtapkut. They're eating the matzah and they're suffering. They're staying home from vacation and it's eating their heart out. They're not going to where others are going. And it's pain, gehinam for them. Don't ever measure hishtapkut by what the person is doing or what they're eating. Plenty of people who can't afford and they're eating less and they're suffering because they don't have the midah of hishtapkut. And there are people, not many. The first one I said plenty. But there are some, not many. There are some people who have everything. Hashem blessed them with everything. But they have the midah of hishtapkut. Obviously, the more you have, the bigger the challenge. That was one of the challenges. The great challenges of the Avot is that Hashem would make them super capable and super wealthy. Would they lose this midah? I mean, look at the words of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he was promised, Hashem promised him, he's running away from Esav. He's trying to find a new home. He doesn't know what's going to be. He doesn't know if he's going to have parnasah. He doesn't know if he's going to have a family. I mean, the man's on the run. Left his family, no support. On his own. And then he has the famous dream. The famous dream of this of the ladder. He says, Hashem tells him, Yaakov, don't worry. I'm going to bless you. You're going to have all the beracha. You're going to have plenty of children. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to be with you. Wow, what a beauty. Imagine a man who has nothing by himself gets such a meeting with the Creator, with a promise, such blessings. Look at the reaction. It's an unbelievable reaction. But that's why the Avot are so special. The reaction, it says over here that Yaakov says, Im yihye Elohim eimadi, if in fact Hashem will be with me like He promised me, Ushmarani, and He's going to watch over me, V'natan li lechem le'echol u'beged lilbosh, and He gives me bread to eat and clothing to wear. And he continues, but we're going to stop here. And the obvious question is, what does he say? And he will give me lechem le'echol, bread to eat, and beged lilvosh, and clothing to wear. Obviously, you eat bread and you wear clothing.
Healthy.
Did we think that we're going to wear the bread and eat the clothing? Why does he have to say lechem le'echol? We know what bread is for. But here the Mefarshim explain that Yaakov Avinu was strengthening himself. When he gets this beracha, he gets nervous. He gets this nervous that all this great things that are coming his way are going to be a threat to his midat, his tapkut. He's worried that he's going to lose this characteristic of being satisfied with less, because now he's going to get so much. Maybe the money is going to get to his head. Maybe the wealth is going to make him need more. So he says, he prays to Hashem. He requests that the bread Hashem is going to give him should be just to eat. Not to be for luxury. Lechem, le'echol. One, lechem to eat, done. Beged lilvosh. That my clothing should be to wear them. Because I need to wear something. Not a fashion statement. It's not a way of telling people my true value. It's not why I want clothing. I'm afraid to get into that. Because when you give me a lot of clothing, it starts to become no longer a beggar to wear. It becomes something else. You see, the Avot were worried about this midah v'istapkut. And that's why they were successful in it, despite their wealth. A person can be very wealthy and have a lot and enjoy a lot, but yet has midat istapkut. Obviously, the wealthier, the more difficult it is. Dave is asking, Hazal tell us that when it comes to a person himself, he should eat less than he can afford, to train himself to be satisfied with less. You don't have to spend on yourself so much. Eat less. When you eat less than you can afford, you might ask, Why did it say less than you could afford? Why did it say eat the lowest you could find? What do you mean less than you could afford? What does that do? I mean, let's say I'm a very wealthy person on a scale of 1 to 10 in the world of food. I can afford a 10. So they're telling you to eat a 9. Why don't they tell you to eat a 1? Answer is, to learn how to be satisfied with less, you don't have to go to the bottom. So long as you're working on this midah, you're going to be matzliach. It's not about the type of food that you're going to eat. So long as you said to yourself, you know what? I could do a 10, but I'm going to do 9. Once you are pointing down, you're acquiring this midah. You don't have to live in poverty. That to have the midah bistapkut, you don't have to live in poverty. You might say, oh, how am I going to be acquiring this midah? Now, I was just telling you, be mindful of it. So when you make decisions, whatever you can afford, do less. Once you're doing less, so you're training yourself to be satisfied with less, whatever less might be in your life. That's a beautiful piece of advice.
Well, I have a fix.
But the Gemara says that when it comes to your wife and children, it says give them more than you can afford. Not only what you can afford. Give them more than you can afford. So Dave is asking, what kind of hinuch is that? Forget your wife. Your job is not to give her hinuch. But for your children to give them more than you could afford, we just said by you eating, eat less so you can become a person of hiztavkut. But now you're going to give your children more. What? So you're training them to be climbing the ladder instead of going down. What happened? It's an unbelievable question. So I think the answer to this question is to understand what giving your wife and children more does. There is a very simple question that one could ask in general when it comes to giving a person's children. When I give my children something extra, so am I teaching them how to become givers? Or am I teaching them how to become takers? On one hand, I'm giving them, so they're learning from me how to give. On the other hand, they're taking, so they're learning how to take. So which one is the message that they're taking? That they should be givers or takers? It's a good question. Every time I give my children, whether they're 5, they're 2, or they're 15 or 50, right? Are they learning to be givers, which is what I want? I want them to become givers. Or are they learning to become takers, spoiled? We call those spoiled people. Takers are spoiled. They just take. Or are they givers? It's a very important question. Because there are many people who give their children and create spoiled takers. And there are people who give their children and create powerful givers. So which one is it? So it all depends how you give it. If you come home one day and out of the kindness of your heart, you say to your son or to your daughter, you know, I was thinking about you today. I know you don't need this, but I want you to have it. I really want you to enjoy something. I was thinking about you. I'm going to go get it for you. You've taught your children how to be givers. But if you give your children based on their demands, Daddy, please, I need to have this. Dad, come on. I'm dying over here. I need it. Gotta give it to me. If you're giving them because they need it and they can't do without it, then you're teaching them to be spoiled takers. So it all depends on how it's given. Do you imagine the difference between creating givers and takers and giving them the same things? Two fathers, two mothers, they gave their children exactly the same thing from beginning to end. One created a spoiled, rotten kid, and one created a giver of the highest caliber. Could you imagine? And they're looking and saying, I don't understand. We both did the same thing. We both gave them the same. Oh, but you missed this class. You gave them, but you weren't focused on the midah of histapkut. You see, if your children are the beginning of your giving, so you're teaching them not to be satisfied. You're teaching them, oh, I need this, Dad. Please, get it to me. Okay, you gave it to them. That's anti-histapkut. But if you gave them from your own, and they don't need it, but you gave it to them, they're not learning to be spoiled. The message they took is a message of giving. You've taught them a great message, and it doesn't infringe on the message of histapkut. It doesn't, because you haven't taught them. What does histapkut mean? It means that I don't need to have something just because I want it. I don't need to have it. You haven't taught them that when you got them extra, if it starts from you, because they didn't ask for it. You gave them out of your heart. That will not affect their histapkut. Their histapkut will be affected when they're demanding it, when they need it, when you have to become the slave to their desires and their demands, and you give in to that. That is anti-histapkut. One more time. The point of I want something, I need to have it. You have not hurt them by giving them something from your own in that area. Because that's not what happened. It's not that they wanted something and they needed to have it and you gave it to them. No. You came on your own. And therefore, you have not hurt that midah of histapkut.
How do you want? It doesn't answer a car and you give him a car?
No problem. If you feel it's good for him, well, again, there's other considerations. If you feel this item is good for him, even though he doesn't desperately need it, but you feel it's good for him, he will not learn from that gift how to be a taker. Now, it could be on his own. On his own, it could be he has to work on his own midah, not to get too connected to that car, and then he himself wants more. Okay, that's like Yaakov and Hashem. Hashem gave him. Now Yaakov has to work on himself. But the actual giving itself was not called spoiling. Does the kid now have to have more effort because Hashem blessed him with so much? That's not your blessing. God blessed him. So yeah, every time you're blessed in life, you have a bigger challenge for yourself in this area. But as far as the father hurting him in that giving, father's not hurting him. Because Jack's asking if his tabkut to be satisfied with a little is something so praiseworthy and one of the greatest midot. So why is it that the Torah teaches us that if a wealthy person loses, God forbid, their money, you have to give him charity, but not just regular charity. Afilu sus lirkov alav, the Gemara says. Even if he's used to riding a horse. I don't ride a horse, but he rides a horse. That's the way he grew up. So I have to give him, if I can, not just the basic needs. I have to give him according to his luxurious lifestyle, because since that's what he's used to, That's what he's missing. Asher yihsar lo. That's what he's missing. Doesn't matter that you wouldn't be missing that. He's missing that. So if you can, give him something on his level, because otherwise you're not satisfying his needs. Says Jack, a great question. If his stapkut is a tremendous characteristic, so why would I give this wealthy man, why would I feed his weakness and give him more than the basics when he should learn how to be satisfied with basics? It's a very nice question. Let me answer your question. A guy who jumped off the Empire State Building should we try to save him? Or do you say, listen, you shouldn't have jumped. Now that you jumped, good luck. What do you think? Why? How come? How come? The reason why is because we have to meet people where they are. You can't judge the other guy's standard to what's supposed to be. At the end of the day, you're right. He shouldn't have jumped. But now he jumped. The reality now is, it's an unfortunate reality.
He jumped.
I wish I taught you before you jump, not to jump. This way I could have helped you. But the reality is now, where are you? Now you're in a state of danger. And right now, I got to help you. I got to save you. But of course, the right thing would be
jump.
If you didn't jump at all. If I could reach you before you jumped, that would be better.
Too late.
So unfortunately, this Ashir that we're talking about, that needs a horse, obviously did not learn the Midah of Istabkut. He is in a dangerous place right now for himself. You have to feel bad for where he is right now. You could say, you don't really need it. You should have learned more. It's your fault. Yes. So you die. I don't care. You're an Ashir. You should have learned how to be Mistapek. Look at Yaakov Avinu. Open up the Tiferet Yonatan. So I'm not giving you nothing. Can't do that. Right now, the guy is suffering. Now, he shouldn't be suffering. Guy smoked all his life. Should we not try to save his lungs? So listen, he shouldn't have smoked. Like, didn't you read the label on the cigarettes? So you smoked? Good. Oh, that's right. I'm not helping you. We don't do that. Why? Torah teaches us to be sensitive to a person, even if he messed up. And you got to meet him where he is. So ultimately, you're right. The Ashir shouldn't need a horse. You're right. It's his problem. But right now, he's got a problem. So what should you say? I'm going to ignore the problem because it shouldn't have happened. The reality is it happened. So we got to save him. Eliyahu is saying what a beautiful idea. Really. So beautiful. Maybe the most beautiful thing we said in this class. He says, that Gemara that says give your children more and your wife more starts by saying give yourself less. He says that's connected. When you give yourself less and give them more, then clearly you're only teaching them how to give. Because when it comes to yourself, you're giving yourself less. They see that you're not a guy rushing and running for more. So look at the example you gave them. You yourself gave yourself less. So what could be the only reason why you gave them more? The only reason, because you want to give them. Because you modeled for them. Two things, and they're connected. You don't have to worry about giving them more to learn that you need more. Because you yourself are taking less. You ordered a matzah with cream cheese, and you gave them a steak. What are they learning from that? That you need to have a steak? No, they're learning that it's great to give steaks to other people. Beautiful. But when they see you also needing the steak, and you give it to them, maybe they will learn a message that's not so good. So the Gemara is saying both things together are a tremendous product. That was really top. Beautiful, beautiful. That was really the Devarim Shel Emet. Beautiful words. Hazak u Baruch. Then we'll continue tomorrow.